South Carolina is bracing for extensive flooding and wind damage from Hurricane Ian as the death toll rises in Florida. And there, Governor Ron DeSantis says cell phone service is spotty, although the state is trying to help residents report that they are safe.
So if you're having issues contacting your family via phone, and if you're sheltering and want them to know you're safe, there's a website, missing.fl.gov.
President Biden also spoke this morning.
We're working very closely with the governor and the entire Florida delegation, Democrat and Republican, making sure that we can do everything we can, including now search and rescue, recovery and rebuilding efforts, which are going to go on for a while, going to go on for a long while. And whatever it takes, we're going to be there as one nation and one America.
Well, as they say, there are very few things that test political leaders like natural disasters. Well, Princeton presidential historian Julian Zelzer says that as well, and he joins us now. Hi.
Hi, it's nice to be with you.
You as well. And we also have Rick Klein with us, political director at ABC News. Hi, Rick.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Julian, there are so many difficult things that a president might face in their term. Why do you say a natural disaster has sort of a unique challenge to it?
Well, I think the impact of a natural disaster like a hurricane is very immediate for families. They see the effects. They are literally struggling day to day, whether it's power, food, or infrastructure, to get through a situation. And since the early 20th century, really the mid-20th century, we've expected elected officials at the national level and certainly at the state level to do something about it. So it's a real test of what can you do in these kinds of moments.
And Rick, speaking of tests, I mean, we heard at the top Governor DeSantis giving, you know, what seemed to be clear presentations, has a solid grasp of what's going on. We should remember this is typically a partisan who has trolled Joe Biden as Brandon. Is this a test of DeSantis and his ability to govern, to provide day-to-day services?
Oh, no question. It's a huge opportunity for him to be less partisan and to show that he's engaged in the day-to-day. He's across national TV and statewide TV several times a day, giving updates, providing information, talking to the president. You know, it was only a week ago that we were tracking a plane that appeared to be headed for Delaware filled with migrants that we believed his team had rounded up in Texas.
After the plane to Martha's Vineyard. Yep.
Right. He had dominated the national news in a much different way. So I think for him, 5-6 weeks before his own reelection campaign, a campaign that we expect will turn into a 2024 bid, this is a purely sent opportunity for him to show that he can govern, that he can be bipartisan, that he can have a good working relationship with the president. There's always potential missteps along the way. Ask President Bush and Hurricane Katrina and his response. But I think the way he's handled it and trying to be above partisanship for the moment is right for the moment, and it's a golden opportunity for him.
When we talk about the golden possibly golden opportunity for Biden, is there a different standard for what Americans expect from their own governor as opposed to the president, Rick?
I think we expect the president to be assisting, being on the ground, being in it the same way is a little bit different. And I think any kind of missteps in federal assessments or coordination, that's where things get really hairy for a president if this takes longer than expected, or if he doesn't make good on that commitment that he's made of really any kind of assistance that Floridians need or Puerto Ricans are also recovering from their own storm need, then I think it comes back on a president. But I think it's largely a bigger test for a governor or a mayor, someone that's closer to the on-the-ground realities that Professor Zelzer was talking about that means something for everyone in their day-to-day lives.
Julian, the president, as you mentioned earlier on, hasn't always been seen as, I guess, the consoler-in-chief. One of the early federal responses from Washington was in 1938 when President Roosevelt, FDR, said this.
In troubled days, when the nerves of men and women have been strained almost to the breaking point, we have been in danger of losing sight of one very important fact, the all-pervading human kindness of men and women.
And that was after a very damaging hurricane back in the 1930s. Julian, since then, has it become a norm for the president to step up at times like this?
It has. I think we do expect a response. The president, in that case, Roosevelt, made a speech. He also sent different New Deal workers to help in the Florida recovery. Lyndon Johnson did the same with Hurricane Betsy. in Louisiana. Not only did he provide relief through congressional legislation, but he literally went on the streets and shook hands and became an important presence, a consoler in chief. And when presidents don't do that well, look at President George W. Bush and Katrina, it really can damage their image and make them look not only detached, but uncaring about the suffering that Americans are facing.
So as we're talking about the way politicians should behave, especially presidents, although, as Julian says, they need to shake hands, they may need to be kind, history tells us they can't get too chummy, right, Rick? Because in the wake of Superstorm Sandy, New Jersey's Republican Governor Chris Christie hugged then-President Obama and said thank you on Fox News, and he is still answering for that. What is sort of the cautionary tale here, Rick?
Yeah, I've talked to Governor Christie about it in the years since, and he says he'd do everything that he did all over again, that was about helping people on the ground in his state, and that it had to be bigger than politics. It was an opportunity, though, for President Obama, who was in the middle of a re-election campaign, just a week or so out from that re-election campaign, to show how bipartisan he could be. There were a lot of conservatives who thought that Christie should have snubbed him or drummed something up. Christie says, though, there was nothing he would do over about that moment. And look, that was the political calendar at the time. You know, had it been right on the eve of a Christie campaign or his own reelection, I think it would have cut in different directions. Did that hurt Mitt Romney? Did it make Barack Obama look more or less partisan in a moment where he was trying to show a broader appeal? Those are questions we'll never quite know the answer to. But I think for this sort of moment at this sort of time, I think everyone is at least realizing everyone's on their best behavior this week. And I'm not expecting that this pause in politics lasts, but I think both Biden and DeSantis realize that this has to be about people who are suffering now and that will need a lot of assistance in the months and even years to come.
And Julian, the recent memory in Washington includes not just Chris Christie after Sandy, but also George W. Bush after Katrina. We recall he initially watched from a helicopter, just looked distant on the cameras, and amid all the suffering, he went down there and said his FEMA director was doing a heck of a job, as we all remember. There's also President Obama being criticized for his slow response to the Gulf oil spill. What recent moments stick out for you?
Yeah, I mean, those are two big ones, of course. President Obama recovered in the end as he accelerated that effort, but it was damaging. Obviously, even more recently, President Donald Trump came under a lot of criticism, when he was in San Juan and throwing paper towels at Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, shooting
after
them
Hurricane Maria,
like basketball.
Which just, right, and it kind of revealed a lack of seriousness, a lack of sympathy for what was going on, and also a kind of mishandling of public policy. So there's many times these presidents don't do this well. President George H.W. Bush was slow in his response to a hurricane in Florida in 1992, and some people think that was damaging as he went in for his reelection against Bill Clinton.
So as we have mentioned before, Joe Biden and DeSantis might run against each other in 2 years. This is a week where Biden called out for a dead congresswoman at a public event. It's also a week where we remember that DeSantis, when he was in the House, voted against federal relief money after Hurricane Sandy. So let me get a response from both of you for at least a minute here. Julian, how do you see them as politicians navigating the weeks ahead?
Well, I think DeSantis is going to do what he needs to do to get recovery and get relief, because his calculation will be unhappy constituents and struggling and suffering constituents is worse than temporarily placating the administration. And I think Biden's instinct is to provide help. I think that is the kind of politician, and he will not be reluctant to do that, even if there's some political costs that come from working with this very controversial Republican governor who might very well be running against him in 2024.
So, Rick, same question to you. How do you see them navigating this relationship as they move forward, possibly closer to running against one another?
You know, it's such a funny thing that we think about these hurricanes primarily because hurricane season happens to collide with election season. Can you imagine if something similar would have happened with DeSantis and Biden running against each other 2 years from now, what that would mean? They're going to have plenty of time to get back to political grooves. And I have no doubt that they'll be throwing some shade at each other. I think even President Biden talking about the praise that DeSantis gave him in a private phone call, that's not unnoticed in Tallahassee. People know what's going on that read the political tea leaves, and they'll be back to that soon enough. I don't think there's going to be a more permanent chill or a thaw in the relationship that's going to make any warmer between these two men. They are going to be trading lots of political attacks between now and 2024. Neither of them is going anywhere anytime soon.
Rick Klein is political director at ABC News. Julian Zelizer is a presidential historian at Princeton University. Thanks to you both.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Julian. Thank you, Rick.